And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your no-show. We are so pleased that you decided to spend some of your LPEs, your life's precious energy, with us this evening. And in so much as you are doing that, we promise to give you the WIIFM, the What's in It for Me, and that we will make certain that you have given gallantly, and we will reward your giving appropriately. We are so excited that today, this day, tax day, Wednesday, April 15, 2015, you've decided to stop by here and visit with us and to visit with my good friend, Miss Laurel Herman. And we will talk about excerpts from her book, The Inner Kitchen. The Inner Kitchen is all about a spiritual food preparation system that incorporates love, peace, and joy. Laurel says the power we possess to affect our lives and the lives of others is a vast and untapped resource. This power is found in anticipating the needs of others, being there with a gentle touch and a warm smile while looking into someone's eyes. And I add, sharing a delectable, tasty treat. Then we communicate, she continues, at the soul level. Laurel's website is www.theinnerkitchen.com. So you may go there if you'd like and take a look and see some of the great things that are going on that she is doing. And we are excited that she has decided to stop by here, to stop by the No Show for a few minutes. She is no stranger here. She has certainly been here before a couple of times. She has visited with us, and each and every time that she came, all of our people enjoyed her very, very, very much. And we know that this evening will be no different from the other opportunities as well. Good evening, Laurel Herman. How are you?
I'm great, and thank you so much for having me stop by tonight. It's a pleasure.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure. We are so grateful that you decided to stop by here. And, of course, I have a copy of your book, The Inner Kitchen, An Inspirational and Imaginative Place by Laurel Herman. And what you say there is what does unconditional love mean? And you talk about it as being something very, very, very special. And, of course, I'm from the South, as you know, Laurel, although mm-hmm. I spent 30-plus years in the Washington, D.C. area and spent more time there than I have anywhere else this particular lifetime. But food in the South is extremely important. As a matter of fact, let me change that. Food, wherever it is that I have been, has always been very important. And friends would come together around food, still come together around food. We talk about various dishes. We talk about each other. We just have big fun and big times, and it always seems to include food. So tell us about the Inner Kitchen, how you came up with this concept, what it's all about, and why you are promoting this phenomenal book called The Inner Kitchen for people to get excited about each other, about life, about food, and moving forward.
Well, the original concept for The Inner Kitchen was really a very cathartic piece for me. I was really working through a very difficult time in my life. But what it really is about, when we talk about unconditional love, is the relationship, it is about relationships. And most importantly, the relationship that we have with ourselves. And just looking at food in a different way through metaphors about food. And that's pretty much, that's what I wrote about it. You took different foods and I used them as metaphors to work through different things, issues and things of what is a relationship, what is, you know, what does it mean to find my path in the world? What is it like to be in the moment? What is it like to give up my ego? All those different things. And since I work with food, I've been working with food for over 40 years, that seems to be the simplest thing and the easiest thing that came naturally for me to relate that to. And that's pretty much how that came about.
Mm-hmm. And you are also a metaphysician. You are a new thought thinker. And tell me how it is that philosophy of the acceptance of personal mm-hmm. responsibility for everything that is going on in one's life, how you then mesh philosophy, that concept, with the thought of food to help people to know that as they go about the business of doing something that we do at least three times a day, that they can then mesh their spirituality and with intentionality, and then have meals that they prepare in wonderful ways. Tell us about that.
Well, as you know, there is no separation, and we are not separate from the divine in any part of our lives, especially when we're nourishing ourselves. But the thing that makes your food healing the most, I have a whole system here of things that I came up with through my experience of years in the kitchen, how to create that healing space. But the most important thing, and the thing that makes everybody's, whatever you're doing, it doesn't matter whether it's food or not, is your own personal healing and the work that you do on yourself. That's the connection. And that's what makes your meal, your food, your preparation healing. It's the healing that you've actually done on yourself. And that flows through into everything that you do in your life. And that's no different with cooking. When I go into the kitchen in the morning, I usually have some really wonderful meditation music on. And it just puts me in a space where I'm feeling really happy and really in the flow. And I block out everything else in the world and I can just cook. And all that meditation and all that love and all that peace, everything goes into the food. So, and actually we have, you know, we have people that come by and tell us, wow, I can taste the love in that. So it's something that people it can actually taste. So they can tell when something is made with love.
Absolutely. And we can always feel love. I remember my granny, who raised me, and her wonderful pies and desserts, but also the homemade biscuits and the gravy and all of the other types of things that even before I would get home, seemingly almost a mile away, I could smell something coming from her kitchen. And one of the things that I always felt was love. And, of course, then we had people that just happened to have been in the neighborhood, and so they would stop by for a little bit of granny's, whatever it was. And in doing that, then, you know, we all would laugh and talk and just have a good time as well. Do you talk about any of that in the inner kitchen?
I haven't looked at it in a little while. I'm looking at it right now. I mostly concentrate on the metaphors. And in the beginning of the book, I actually talk about how that healing, what you're talking about, is the, you know, healing touch and the things that we put into our food and being with the family and being with your friends and just creating that space of fellowship, if you know, I guess that's the word you would use, a fellowship and togetherness. Okay. And when you create that and you create it with love, then you are bringing the divine into your room, into your kitchen, into your dining table. And there's nothing more wonderful than when a family sits down together and the cell phones are off and TV's off and you can actually talk. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, you know, just to sit in a space and a place where there are no phones for a minute in and of itself is a tremendous opportunity. I imagine that it takes a while for people to adjust to that, though, Laurel, and to accept being involved in just conversation. I remember being somewhere recently. And something happened, and the electrical things, the gadgets that we use, went out. And all of a sudden, the kids that were there said, "Oh my God, what are we going to do? There's no television, no computer, no. Our phones were connected, and they hadn't recharged. What are we going to do?" And I said, "Wow, this is a very novel idea. But maybe we could just talk to each other. Maybe we could find out how our days have gone. Maybe we could find out what the things are that are happening in our experience that we want to share with each other." And do you know, we had the most fabulous time doing that. So that, I think, is what your experience relative to food is all about. Tell people a little bit of your background, Laurel. You're no novice in terms of the kitchen. You know what's going on with that. You are a professional chef. Tell people about your background and some of the pursuits that led you into this field of being a chef.
Well, this is sort of being a chef. This wanting to work with food has been a passion of mine since I was a teenager. And I started out in a burger joint and a German deli. And I worked at the front of house, the back of house. When I was in my early 20s, I took the train an hour and a half, 2 hours each way to New York, to Manhattan, to work in a theater district restaurant. This is the restaurant that Bobby Flay got his start in, and it's called Joe Allen's. It's a huge theater restaurant that would seat up to 600 people.
Wow.
In 600 people on a Wednesday afternoon was nothing to come through there. And I was the only young woman in a kitchen full of 30 men. And I really didn't know anything, but I wanted to. And I think that's back in the days when you would do anything for your craft. You would do anything to learn. And I hadn't had any culinary school at that point. So I just went to work everywhere I could. And, you know, when I first walked in there, you know, all the fellas turned around and looked at me and they're like, "What is she doing here?" And, you know, I cut myself the first week. I had to go to the hospital. I mean, but it was fabulous. It was wonderful. And all the gentlemen there really took me under their wing, and they taught me everything they knew. And they would send me to the basement to fill hundreds and hundreds of eclairs. And I just loved it. It was just absolutely wonderful. And I didn't mind the travel or anything else like that. But I worked in, you know, catering houses and restaurants and you name it. Everywhere that you could possibly work, I've worked. I've done my own catering. I've done private catering, everything. In, you know, the kosher spectrum to everything. Now I'm working with organics, and I'm teaching this AIP class right now, which is an autoimmune protocol, which is taking a very limited diet and making it limitless. So it gives me a chance to be more creative and come up with ideas that, you know, I would never dream of before. And it's just exciting, and it's just something that as much as I've tried to get away from it during different periods of my life, I always find my way back. And it's just because it's what I love to do, and it's just what I do. It's just what I do. It's like breathing for me, and I really love it. And the most wonderful thing is being able to cook for close friends and family and sharing a meal. And, you know, sometimes we get together for a dinner with a friend or two will stop by, and, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a formal dinner or not. We'll throw something together. The candles are on. The lights are dim. We put nice music on, and we converse. And that's what dining is. And that's the experience that you want people to have. And I want to take the stress out of cooking for people. They tend to think that it's a stressful thing, and they don't know how to follow recipes, and people get all stressed out over cooking, and it's really, really a very simple thing to do.
It would seem to me that one of the most important ingredients, if you will, would be care, concern, and compassion, and an opportunity to use this wonderful food as the excuse that sometimes people seem to need just to come together. I'm reminded of a commercial that I saw, Laurel, a while back. And in that commercial, all of a sudden, all the lights went out in the house, and everything was just black. And the kids came into the center room, I guess the great room, and they said, "Oh, my God, what are we going to do?" And Dad said, "Oh, my goodness, let me go out and check the system." And he said, "Wow, it seems that the system is down, and the backup generator didn't kick in either. But I tell you what, I just happened to have stopped by the store and picked up coal and a couple of lanterns even, just in case something ever happened. So I had those." And so they went out, and the kids helped to create the fire, and his wife did what she needed to do, and the neighbors came over because they saw what was going on, and they just had a fabulous time sharing and visiting and what have you. And then at the end of this, as everybody's talking about how neat it was, Dad goes back inside the garage and flips the switch to turn back on the lights, and everything comes back on. So in other words, he had planned that from the beginning. And I guess what I'm hearing you say, Laurel Herman, is that that is one of the things that we can do intentionally, and that you do intentionally with your friends as far as food is concerned. Is that right?
Yes, and actually I was going to tell you a story. When we had Hurricane Isabel come through, I mean, my whole neighborhood, I was in a different neighborhood at the time, and I lived in a cul-de-sac, and trees were falling all over the place, and we had this terrible hurricane. And everybody lost power, and what do? We got the grills in the middle of the cul-de-sac. I was the only person that had a French press coffee pot that didn't require electricity. So, you know, I became the hero there. And we made breakfast for 40 people, and that's just what we,
wow.
You know, that's just what you do. And a hurricane is a great, great excuse to get together. It was just fabulous. It's not, those are the kinds of things that you don't forget.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that you also bring people into the experience of healing, and talk about the aspect of food as a healer, and food to bring about healing. How does that come about, Laurel?
Well, there's two different things that I'd like to talk about. One of them is some of the work that I do for my clients. I have people that are recovering from surgery. They have cancer. Some people are getting ready to make their transition. And, you know, the meal is actually secondary, believe it or not, but it's not. It is and it isn't at the same time. The meal, if a client comes to me, and like I just recently had a client that had a double mastectomy, actually a very young woman, and she asked me to cook for her for a week. So, you know, I went shopping with her before her surgery, and we set the intention for what we wanted each meal to be for her. Like the first several meals were broths, so she would be able to digest them, and, you know, after surgery, your stomach is not totally right. And I just do this for several of my clients, and just sort of to get them on the road to recovery in the, you know, the first week or so after their surgery. But the thing is, I specifically put time aside to meditate and pray on their food before I cook it, and I put the right music on. And that's the other thing I wanted to talk about. What I've noticed over the years in my work is the atmosphere that you create when you're getting ready to make meals or serve people. And what we do at work is we really create music. You know, music is a very important part of the healing. Every meal is a symphony. I'll put it to you that way. And each ingredient or dish is a phrase or a note. And it just plays a huge role in cooking food. And its presence in food cannot be understated. Like, I'll give you an example. On Valentine's Day, my coworker and I, we listened to romantic music all day long. We had beautiful music playing. And he remembered about his mother in El Salvador, and all these emotions come up. And when all those emotions come up, it can't escape the food. And all that is healing. And people come in that day, and they're just like, wow, what did I just eat? You know, and they feel it. And it's alchemy. It's transforming. It's an alchemical process. It's transforming something that is a carrot into nourishment, or whatever it is, the dish that you're making, the soup, the entree, whatever it is, your energy goes into all of it. It's food is sensual. So, you know, we feel everything that we put into our food, and everything has a vibration, and the food has a vibration. And especially if you're using organic food, and from the point of the seed, from where the farmer starts, the intention of the farmer to the market, to the restaurant or to your home or whatever, it starts with that little seed. And what you do with it when you bring it into your home or your restaurant to cook, the extra added intention just bumps up the nourishment on all levels.
Interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, we are visiting with Laurel Herman, who is the author of The Inner Kitchen, an inspirational and imaginative place. Laurel says, when food becomes intentional and nutritional, you can unlock its medicinal qualities, and that transforming your food and ultimately leads to healing your body, your mind, and your spirit. She goes on to say, whether you are a vegetarian, AIP, paleo, P-A-L-E-O, or gluten-free. By the way, I have no idea what any of that means other than vegetarian, but Laurel is going to explain it to me and to Carrie, who is also standing by, chomping at the bit to get into this conversation and to find out what AIP and paleo or gluten-free. I know what gluten-free is. It means that it doesn't have any gluten. I may not know what gluten is, but I know what that means. But she is going to explain it to us. I also do know what vegetarian is, and I know that I am not one, okay? But I'm moving in that direction. Slowly but surely, I am moving more and more and more in that direction. So, Laurel, while we're right there, before I bring Carrie Kelly in to share with us and to ask questions that she has, what is AIP, paleo, so forth and so on? What does all of that mean?
Okay, well, the paleo diet really eliminates grain, and a lot of people that use the paleo diet, just a lot of meat, but it's actually not so much meat. There's a lot of vegetables. There's the elimination of legumes and dairy, and, of course, gluten. AIP is the autoimmune protocol, and that's an elimination diet to heal the gut mucosa or leaky gut. And many people that have autoimmune disease like lupus or Hashimoto's or multiple sclerosis, they say that disease starts in the gut. So this particular AIP autoimmune protocol eliminates many, many things, and it seems like a very, very stringent diet. And it's usually done for the first 30 days, but many people stay on it much longer than that. It's a program that helps with inflammation in the body. So, the restrictions are seed spices, gluten, dairy, peppers, including black pepper in the beginning, nightshades, eggs. So you're basically just eating root vegetables, protein, like meat protein or fish, and very little fruit, actually, because some of the fruit leads to candida overgrowth, and that's all part of that leaky gut system. And it's not, the interesting thing is it's not something that you could see. It's going on internally inside your body. So a diet like AIP is used in conjunction with taking extra rest, watching your schedule, that you don't overdo it. And then, you know, I'm trying to think of the word, adrenal, like adrenal function.
Okay.
So you
okay.
have to also watch your adrenal function. So all those different things play together. But the autoimmune protocol, lots of people lose weight on it right away. But the main goal of that is to heal the leaky gut.
I see. And when you say leaky gut, as I bring Carrie Kelly into our discussion, what is a leaky gut? What does that mean? It sounds like it's the literal interpretation, and it means that your gut is leaking. But, I mean, why does that come about? What happens? What are the things that create that challenge, so forth and so on?
Well, leaky gut is also known as gut permeability, and that's sort of like there's like little tiny holes, it sounds like, in your intestines. And a lot of this is brought on by stress, by people overdoing it, you know, pushing, just trying to get too many things done, trying to achieve too much, that sort of thing. And people just get really run down, and their adrenals get affected, and their gut gets affected. I don't even know, I'm not aware of it because I don't feel anything. But from what my understanding, from what my doctors have told me, what I have comes from leaky gut. So I have to be a good girl and stay on AIP and come up with recipes. So,
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense to be able to know that if you have a protocol that has been created and established by a physician, somebody like Elaine Ferguson, who is often on the program with her combination of spiritual healing, physical healing, diet, so forth and so on, then someone who is her client could come to you and say, okay, here, this is what I've been told. I need for you to help me up together and then to make it also taste good so that I will enjoy it time and time and time again, since it is something that has to happen. And so I have an appreciation for that. Let me bring Carrie Kelly in here, our friend out in Oakland, California. Carrie, good evening. Have you heard the conversation between Laurel and I so far?
Yes, I have. And what's funny is that, like, right now here, it's 5 o'clock. It's after, you know, between 5 and 6 p.m. here. And I'm actually cooking, making dinner right now. So what I loved about this is that she talked about how people can use cooking as a labor of love. Now, that's a challenge for me because me and the kitchen, we really don't get along. I'm one of those people that know how to burn water, okay? You know, what I do like is the putting on the music, because I figure if I can sing and sing my way through anything, then I can get the job done. So I like the idea of putting on some music that you like that will turn this labor into a labor of love.
Well, Carrie, it's really like just putting blocks together. You know, food preparation is just preparation and assembly. Chop up the blocks and put them back together. Throw them in a pan and just go for it. I don't think that you could go wrong. I don't think there's any really such thing as a bad cook.
Well, my
really?
Husband seems
you
to like whatever
ex-wife.
I put in front of him, but he just... but I just don't like the kids. I just don't like to cook. It's not that I'm a bad cook. It's just that it's not something that I look forward to. Like the one time that I did a big dinner for people, the big Thanksgiving holiday dinner where everybody was coming over, I fussed the whole time. I actually enjoyed it. And, I was on one. So, you know.
It was probably wonderful.
Oh, food came out great, but the thing is, it wasn't a labor of love. It was a labor, and by the time I was done cooking, I was so tired, I fell asleep in my plate.
Well, I'll just tell you a little secret. Sometimes sometimes when we get annoyed at work and, you know, we have an annoying customer or something like that, my coworker will say, he'll turn around and say to me, cooking with love, cooking with love. So, I mean, you know, I mean, we all go through that. Yeah. That's perfectly natural. We all go through that. There's days when I come home and I don't want to cook.
That's right. I was thinking that we also have to remember that we are metaphysicians, and that everything that comes about is an opportunity for us to take that question mark and straighten it into an exclamation point. But sometimes that is easier said than done, but it is always so necessary. Laurel, I wonder if you would share with us, and Carrie, I'm going to leave your microphone open, and so jump in whenever it is that you would like. By the way, I need for all of you all, and specifically you, Laurel, to know that Carrie Kelly is my guest cohort and co-host on the No Show, and just does a phenomenal job of supporting this effort in wonderful and wonder-filled ways. So Laurel, share with us specific examples of things that you would like for us to know about what it is that you do and how it can impact each and every one of us wherever it is that we are and whatever it is that we're doing.
Well, what I would like to share is I would like for everybody to know that you create a sacred space in their kitchen. And you can do that by blessing everything that's in there. You go in there, you know how we talk in prosperity, how you bless your money, you bless your bills, you bless everything. Well, the kitchen is no different. So you just walk into your kitchen and you bless everything and you take out what is not good for you, what does not serve you, like you would take out anything else in your life that does not serve you. And you just create that space in there that is sacred. You clean your cabinets out. You set the intention, what you want your kitchen to be. And one of the things that I would advise people to do is to invest in one or two good pieces of equipment, because that tells yourself that, you know, that itself becomes a sacred vessel for your food. You know, I've made this investment in myself. I've made this investment in feeding myself and nourishing myself. So that sends a strong message to yourself about your own self-care. And one of the other things that I wanted to say was make your table an altar. Your table is a sacred altar. The cell phones go off, the good china. I mean, I eat on my good china every day. We have the clutter, but I'm looking at my kitchen table and it's not cleared off right now. So, you know, I put candles on for dinner every night for myself. And if I have a friend over, I try to create a nice space. I want people to ask themselves, how can you take a stressful day and turn your mealtime into a blessing? What are some of the ways that you can honor your ritual? What can you make a ritual out of your mealtime? And that's just, I can't stress that enough. You know, when friends come over for dinner, it's so nice to be able to have somebody to converse with and laugh with and just share your day with or what's gone on during the week. That is such a precious, precious space to be in. The other thing to do, try to shop consciously. Try to shop with your local farmers markets. Some of them are not necessarily organic, so you have to ask. And some of them just don't spray their food, and it doesn't have to be organic because it costs them tens of thousands of dollars to get the organic certification. So, and when you're buying meat, if you're a meat eater, to try to eat free range or organic, or if you're going to be eating red meat, to eat grass-fed beef, and try to, you know, make sure that you get your meat, if you're buying meat, from a place that is, you know, safely sourced and the animals are not abused and they're free range. And all that comes into the consciousness of how, like in kosher food, you know, how the animal is killed. It's killed in a way that it's not supposed to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all those things are things to take into consideration when you're buying your food. So it really, for me, it's a conscious thing all the time that I think about. And, you know, I don't want to put that as a huge responsibility for people. It's just something to consider in honoring yourself as another way to love yourself, another way to treat yourself good, that sort of thing. And also taking the time. I'm sorry. Also taking the time to cook. I mean, we can stand in line in McDonald's for, you know, in the drive-thru for 25 minutes, but we can't cut up a stalk of broccoli and put it in a saute pan. I mean, there's something wrong with that picture. So, and then, you know, when you're making your own food, you know where it comes from. You know what you're doing to it. You know what you put your stamp on it. You put your mark on it. It just takes on a whole new meaning when you, you know, you cook for yourself or for your family or friends.
Interesting. You know, as you were talking about buying a piece of equipment for your kitchen, I don't know if this one counts, but I love my George Foreman grill, okay? So that one may not fit into that equation, Laurel, but I got to tell you, when I think about all of the time that George saves me, and when I think about all of the love that he puts into making that thing, and then it gives me this juicy whatever it is that I want, I love it. I don't think that was exactly what you had in mind, but you know, it's kind of in that same vein.
It's all relative. If it helps you and it's important to you,
that's right.
Then it's good.
That's right. On the serious
I got a
side,
bunch of I was just going to say, I got a bunch of different equipment that was a good investment for about a week, and now it's sitting there collecting dust. I could outfit a whole kitchen with certain things.
Well, bring it over, and we'll make some food.
All right.
And that's a really good point, Laurel, especially for you, relative to the investment of time and energy that you make in the doing this for yourself, and then for your clients to show them how they can get so much from putting something together, and whether there is somebody else there or not, to say to yourself, you are worth this, and so I am now doing this just for you. And so you are then supporting the Spirit of God that is Laurel, that is Robert, that is Carrie, and you don't need anybody else to do that with you. I mean, it's nice to have some other people there sometime, but it sounds to me like you can have a spiritual opportunity all on your own. Is that am I right in that?
Absolutely.
Thought?
Absolutely. I mean, I have to plan out my meals. I don't know, right before you called me, I had a little piece of salmon, and, I wanted to make myself something really nutritious before the call tonight. But, you know, I mean, not, you know, you don't want to cook all the time. Sometimes I don't always want to cook. So, but I still make sure that the ingredients I have are something that's going to be nutritious for me and something that's going to, just enhance my well-being. As much as I can. It doesn't always work because we're human, and, you know, sometimes we want to go out, we want to be treated, we want to be served. But, you know, it's there's always nothing better than what you make at home.
Sure. And the other thing is that we're involved in 2015 in doing 15,000 different things at the same time. And the time requirement is extreme on each and every one of us, and it seems that 24 hours is just not enough time for us to do all of the things that we need to do. But I hear you saying that we need to create a priority and make ourselves that priority as well. Ladies, I'm going to ask you to stand by, and I want to remind our audience that this is the No Show. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan. We are pleased that you decided to spend this time with us this evening in being here, both those of you who are online and those who are on the telephone. In order to ask a question or make a statement or show your support for this phenomenal lady, Laurel Herman, who is the author of The Inner Kitchen and whose website we're also going to share with you, because we want for you to go up on that website and invest in yourself, invest in your life, and allow the spirit that is within you to be fed in wonder-filled and wonderful ways. So we are excited that you decided to stop by here. We have a number of phenomenal shows on the RBR, the Renford Broadcast Network, and one of those shows is coming up this evening at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. All of our shows are always given in Central Standard Time zone frame because of the fact that we are here in the South. We are in Memphis, Tennessee based. We are in Little Rock, Arkansas, as I am this evening. But all of you are all over the place. Carrie is in Oakland, California, as we said. Laurel is in Virginia, the Richmond area, and so forth and so on. And so we are pleased that you can just call in on 347-838-9142, which you may do right now if you're online, and hit 1. You have to press 1, so then we will know that you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make, and we will bring you into our conversation. Let me go back to you, Laurel, before I go over to Carrie again and just ask you what some of the questions are that people ask of you relative to this experience with this new experience, experiencing food in a brand new way, eating differently, preparing and sharing love and light with yourself initially, and then with others as well. What are some of the questions that people ask of you?
Well, the AIP questions people ask, are you sure I can't eat this? How do you make something flavorful without using pepper? How do you make a bone broth? I mean, people ask me questions all the time.
How do you make a what?
A bone broth. Like bone broth is considered to be, a bone broth is very, very old Chinese traditional medicine. And you take bones of a meat, it could be chicken, it could be lamb, it could be beef bones, and you roast them. And you put them in a crock pot and you add like celery, onions, and carrots. And you also add in apple cider vinegar. And you let that cook for 24 hours. And what the apple cider vinegar does is it draws out the nutrients from the bone. And at the very last hour or so, you throw in a bunch of parsley. And the parsley ends up drawing out the rest of it. And bone broth is considered one of the most healing things that you can possibly eat. And really big thing. It's a really big thing now. The Chinese have been doing it for centuries, and they have several different kinds of healing broths that you can use. But those are some of the questions people ask me. How do I make bone broth? Or I'll put a recipe up or a picture up on Instagram, and they'll ask me how I made it. And, I write recipes, and I look at other people's recipes as well. There's a couple of really wonderful young bloggers that are not professional chefs, but, man, I'll tell you what, these girls can cook. And they just come up with these amazing recipes, and a lot of them also have autoimmune issues. And it's just very, very creative. A lot of people ask me, a lot of people say that they can't follow a recipe or that they don't feel comfortable cooking. So those are some of the clients that I'll work side by side with. And, within 15 minutes, I mean, never mind the 30-minute meal, because in 15 minutes you can put a fabulous meal on the table and it's practically effortless. So, that's what a lot of my clients do. They want to know how to do that for themselves, for their families, and how do I get my kids to eat something healthy? How do I get my husband to eat? And that's a big question. One of the questions that that a lot of the women ask is, how do I get, I can't get my husband to help me or my boyfriend to help me. So what I tell them is to lower the expectation of whoever their partner is, and they don't have to get involved in the meal process, because, you know, that's a good way to start an argument for some people. And just turn them on to a great meal, and just lower your expectations. You know, if it's not what they're into and it's not what they're interested in doing, don't force the issue. You know, the main focus should always be yourself first, and and everything that you create thereafter, you know, everybody else can enjoy. If they don't want to eat healthy, how do I get my boyfriend or my husband to eat healthy? If they don't want to, they don't have to. You do what you need to do for yourself, and then the rest will fall into place, and just lower the expectation of what you want from other people. And that's one of the biggest arguments and issues around mealtime for families.
Awesome. One of the other things that I love about this book, oh, and by the way, I did remember that I do have two pieces of equipment, because that thing that you mentioned during our previous conversation, you know, where you throw the crock pot, I've got one of those too. And I love that thing because you cannot burn anything up in the crock pot. And so that is perfect for me. But you have a salmon piccata recipe on page 66, folks, in The Inner Kitchen by Laurel Herman. And let me tell you, that salmon piccata recipe includes 2 to 3 wild salmon fillet, olive oil, a dab of butter or earth balance, whatever that is, organic capers, I love capers, 1 to 1.5 cups of white wine. I'm there with that, okay? I am there. I'm going to put in 2.5 cups of white wine. Juice of 1 lemon, frontier veggie pepper or black pepper, so forth and so on, and then you do all of that stuff with it that Laurel tells you about. So you want to pick up this book. You want to go up online right now and order this book, The Inner Kitchen, An Inspirational and Imaginative Place by Laurel Herman. Let me tell you, it will even make and allow people like me to do some great things. Carrie, let me ask you, does your husband, does he cook?
He's a better cook than I am. He loves to cook. And he's another one of those dash of this, pinch of that, and it tastes so good, but you can never duplicate the recipe because he has no idea what he put in. What he put in the food to make it taste like that. but yeah, he loves to cook. And he's a healthy eater around here. I'm the one who always wants the junk food, but you know, he puts his foot down about, you gotta have vegetables with dinner. If I don't have a salad or some kind of green vegetables with the meal that I prepare, it's a problem.
Isn't that interesting? Laurel, do you have a lot of men that are part of your entourage as well? Do you have a lot of men that want to know more about healthy eating, healthy cooking in this day and age, 2015?
I work with mostly women, I have to say. Mm-hmm. I do work with mostly women.
Okay.
I mean, once in a while I'll have a gentleman ask me something, but, you know, for the most part, they just want to eat. I mean, you know, the customer
is
fine.
Is that by choice or is that by default that you mostly work with women? Is that by choice or mostly default?
That's mostly by default, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know a lot of women through integrative nutrition, and we're all into some sort of we're all into diet, and we all have various different ways of approaching it. But I think most of my audience would be women. I have some men that visit my website, and I've had a couple of people that have written me that are gentlemen, but for the most part, it's...
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to say one thing. I do. I just want to let you know, let the listeners know that I also offer Skype appointments, phone appointments, and they can reach me at theinnerkitchen@gmail.com, and I would be happy to set something up, and I can walk you through your kitchen, help you clear out your kitchen, and even actually, you know, walk you through a meal. So, or help you work out whatever issue that you might have in your home with food and diet and just organizing your kitchen. All that can be through the magic of electronics now. We can all do that through Skype.
That's right. Let me ask you to do that again. Give your I guess that was an email, and also give your website so that people can go up and take a look, Laurel, if you will. So give your email address and your website, please.
Okay. The website is www.theinnerkitchen.com, and I have recipes on there, chef's tips. I'm going to be changing up my website in a few weeks. That's going to look a little bit differently. It's going to be a little more user-friendly for the recipes. My Skype name is Organic Gal, and my email address is theinnerkitchen@gmail.com.
Theinnerkitchen@gmail, G as in government, mail.
@gmail.com.
Excellent. So, folks, even after tonight, and, of course, as always, you will be able to go up about half an hour after our program and listen to the program again by going to the website and pulling it down under the No Show and today's date. You'll be able to get that and pull it down and listen to it and forward it to your friends who missed this, because I always have people calling me, emailing me, saying, wow, I wish that my friend had heard that show. And I say, not a problem. They can still hear that show. For those of you who are on my email list, my list service, and who have sent a request to me at robtmcm@aol.com, you are part of my list service, and I send that information to you, and I also send you a link for the show so that you can pull it down later, or for those of you who are at work, like many of our people are, they're at work right now, and so they have their earpieces in, and they are listening to what we are saying, but they can't give us feedback. So for all of the above, just know that we understand and we are willing to do whatever it is that we need to do to support you. And we are also excited about bringing you programs like this, like Laurel Herman, who is taking time out of her very, very busy schedule and away from her family and her friends to come and visit with all of us, to share with us what the importance of going to organic meals is. And while I'm on that bandwagon, let me also share with you that it's either in this month, no, it must be next month. Next month, Science of Mind magazine has a phenomenal article on whole foods, and the young man that heads that organization up. And he talks about how it is that he decided to do that and why. And one of those places that you can get some of those phenomenal foods that Laura was talking about is at Whole Foods. And they're not paying me. I would to goodness that they would. I would not have a problem with that. But they are not. I'm just kidding, of course. But yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were in the middle of something. There's one more thing that
ahead.
I wanted to offer. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There's one more
thing I wanted to offer up to you. Do you have a second? Do we have a minute?
I'm waiting.
Oh, okay. There's a really good friend of mine that's actually listening in. His name is Dr. Mark Roseman, and we have been working together, trying to put couples retreats together for couples to enhance their relationship, and cooking classes and working together in the kitchen is part of that retreat. And he runs a place called the Toby Center in South Florida, which is for families in transition, but they also work with child visitation and also work with keeping families together. And one of the ways that we were looking at doing that is with putting some people in the kitchen together and learning to work together in that environment and bringing the kitchen and food back to the family.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I would love to have Mark on the program as well, and then at some point bring both of you on together so we can talk about that. That is what the no-show is all about. That is what it is that we do. Laura, go ahead and share with us, as you are, more about what it is that you're doing. What are some of the other questions? We have about 3 minutes left. What are some of the other questions that people pose to you relative to how it is that they can prepare food, why it is that they should prepare it in this way, at the time element involved, so forth and so on?
Well, is there anybody that wants to ask me a question? Is there anybody in the line that may have a question
just
for
me? Go ahead, dear. Go ahead. We're waiting for you. Nobody has indicated that they had anything else to ask.
Okay.
I do. I have one.
Go ahead.
Can there be any holistic value in junk food? Can we, like, find a way to make that a blessing?
Wait, say that again.
I'm asking about the way to make junk food a blessing, because it tastes so good. It's like comfort food, you know, but it it just doesn't have the nutritional value that we want to have, but we crave it.
Ah. Well, you know, I just got a question. I just got a text question from somebody. One of the things I learned in school, you can be a very, very unhappy person and eat completely, completely healthy.
Okay.
Or you can be a very happy person and eat junk food. A lot of it is your attitude.
Okay.
A lot of it is attitude. That's not an excuse for eating bad food. But one of the questions that I just got from Mark was how does one transition from one diet to another? And I would suggest to do that gradually. You add in or you take away one thing at a time. So, you know, pea punishment, that's what happens a lot of times when people try to transition from being a meat eater to being a vegetarian to, or let's say in the case of autoimmune protocol, having to cut things out like coffee, like sugar. You just do it gradually. And you have to remember, the best way to do that is to remind yourself that you're doing this as an act of love for yourself. And it's not a punishment.
I love it. Thank you so much, Laurel Herman, for coming to visit with us this evening, talking about the inner kitchen and how it is that we can prepare wonder-filled foods to go with our opportunities for visiting with our friends and family. We are so pleased that you decided to stop by here and visit with us. We will have you back again and again, as we have in the past. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the No Show. Laurel, share one more time what your website is and your email address for people to reach you quickly.
Okay, my email address is theinnerkitchen@gmail.com, and the website is www.theinnerkitchen.com. I also have a Facebook page, The Inner Kitchen, and my Skype name is Organic Gal. If somebody wants to reach me for a Skype appointment, please contact me by my email address.
Excellent. I appreciate it, and I thank my guest and Ms. Carrie Kelly. Thank you so much for being a part, as you always are, of this auspicious occasion. Next week, we have Reverend C. Michael Woodstock. Again, he is out of that place called California. You had options, and you had places to go, and you chose to intentionally be right here with us on the No Show. And we are grateful. We appreciate who it is that you are. We appreciate how it is that you are showing up in the world and the difference that you are making. Go forth into the week and make this week the best week of the rest of your life. The choice is yours. The choice is up to you. And we see it happening right now for you. God bless everybody. Take good care. Create a great day. We'll see you. We're out of here.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody. Thank you.